Ladies and gentlemen, once again, time to bring in our good buddy Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. And we'll talk food once again here earlier this week on Robinhood Radio and, of course, on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Marshall. I hope you're sounding better than you are, I bet.
Slow, no, slow steps,
It's the
and
secret of radio, you know?
yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. The old saying goes, it's been used on me more than once. You have the perfect face for radio.
Absolutely.
Anyway, this was not my saga, but it's the saga of a man that I greatly admire named Clifford Wright, Wright, who has written a number, maybe I could count here, maybe 10, 12 cookbooks. The one that he's most famous for is called Mediterranean Feast. And it's really a comprehensive book about foods of the cuisines that are around the Mediterranean. He is more than a recipe. His books are more than recipe collection, the most part. They also, as which I most admire, encompass history and politics and geography and culture, all those things, because food is a culture item, an expression of culture. Anyway, Clifford has now published, I want to say he's published because it is a self-published book, An Italian Feast. Now, here's the saga part. So besides it, when you get this book, which is what, 1200 something pages, I mean, really, it is no pictures, by the way. It's 1190 pages, not including the last page, which tells you what Clifford has also written, which is much. Some of them, are recipe collections, but what he is known for is the background that he gives you. And this book, which covers all 20 regions of Italy, every province in every region, that's how Italy is broken up. We have states, they have regions. We have counties, they have provinces. Well, Louisiana, they have parishes. So it's the same thing. Subdivision, municipal subdivision. And in the case of Italy, it's not municipal, it's historic, cultural. I always like to say food doesn't know about borders. So, for instance, Abruzzo has dishes that they also make in neighboring Molise, used to be one region. And Sicily, of course, is always a part somewhat, it's an island after all, with other historical influences. But Clifford, besides that, this had to take, I would say, all 40 years of his career. It has most cookbooks do not have bibliography, but his is so rich with historical information, blah blah blah, that it even has footnotes and has maps, no pictures, as I said. Now the tradition. Traditional recipes that he has in the book, I think, are mostly very traditional versions of those recipes. But he's not afraid to, cuisine evolves. So he is not afraid to put in modern touches or even modern recipes for that matter. The book, again, is called An Italian Feast. So here's the deal. He when it was when it's a called print on demand. Meaning, as the book is ordered, they print the book. And there are many ways of doing this. But Amazon, of course, is the main bookseller of America these days. But Amazon is not responding to Clifford's pleas to change their page on their website. For instance, it says that the book is not available now. Well, how could it not be available when it's a print on demand? I ordered my book. I have to check to see when indeed I did order it, but I'm sure it's at least 4 or 5 weeks ago. When was the last time you heard of an Amazon book that took 5 weeks to get to its destination? And on top of that, I got a message at least 10 days ago, more, 2 weeks ago, saying it was going to arrive last week. And then it didn't arrive until Thursday of this past Thursday. I mean, really. So on Facebook, Clifford is urging people to go to other places to order the book. Very expensive book, I may say, besides a rare Italian book or two. This is the most expensive cookbook I've ever bought. It's 80 something dollars. I'm telling you, it's worth it. And you know, my eye goes immediately to baked pastas. So I was looking to see what Clifford had in the way of baked pasta. And whenever I say this, I think of my nephew when he was a kid. He's not a kid anymore. We asked him, "What's your favorite food?" And he said, "Well, pasta. But better than what could be better than pasta? Stuffed pasta." So in my case, it's what could be better than pasta? Baked pasta. And I have several, if not many, recipes that I just sometimes actually crave. I made one that's in the Clifford Wright book, and is I have I'll just say it's another form of baked ziti, but it's from the Piedmont, from the northwest of Italy. So it's not tomato paste at all. It's a mixture that Mr. Harned particularly likes, which is to say a creamy base with peas and ham. Any which way you do that for him, he's happy. In this case, you take a pound of ziti. And, well, let me say the procedure should be, and I did it this way, to first make a white sauce. You need 2 cups of white sauce. I must say that one of the tests of a cookbook, following a recipe to the letter and seeing how it comes out. And I, even though I had thoughts of, well, maybe it's not enough, this is not enough, but maybe it's not long enough in the oven, it came out perfect, exactly the way Clifford told me to do it. So I made a white sauce. You need 2 cups of bechamel, or bechamel in Italian. And in this case, I used, and he does call for a little bit of onion, but I didn't like the way he added it in. So I started out by sauteing a half of a smallish onion, finely minced, in 4 tablespoons of butter. And when the onion, over low heat, and when the onion was quite tender, I added a quarter of a cup, 4 tablespoons of flour. I'm making a white sauce. I stir in the flour and let that bubble for 2 or 3 minutes with the onion in there and plenty of butter. And then here's how I do my white sauce, because I don't like to like heat up the milk and dirty another pan. I don't want to add hot milk, so I'm going to add cold milk. And in order to do that and be sure it's not going to lump, you take the roux that you just made, the onion in it, take it off the heat, stir it, wait till it stops bubbling. And then you can pour in 2 cups of milk, 4 tablespoons of butter, 4 tablespoons of flour, half an onion, and 2 cups of milk, and stir it in. It'll be smooth in no time. Put it over medium heat and stirring it rather regularly, bring it to a simmer, and at which point it'll be at its maximum thickness. This is how you make a bechamel white sauce. Anything except that in this case, you're using 2 tablespoons of flour per cup of milk, which makes a rather thick white sauce. But I followed Clifford's directions. He has base recipes, and his base recipe only made a cup and a half, and I needed 2, but you could easily increase it. So that I season with salt, pepper. I mean, if you're going to be fussy, you can. White pepper. I actually like the taste of black pepper better. And since this is all going into a casserole, you're not going to see the flecks of black. So season it with salt and pepper, and then a nice few scrape, more than a few scrapings of nutmeg, and that's it. Stir it, taste it. You can do that ahead of time. I did set it aside. Before you assemble the whole thing, you can heat it up just so that it's hot. It doesn't have to be simmering again. And then you need the other additions, the ham, 4 ounces of ham. What I do is I ask the deli man, slice me 1/4 inch thick slice of ham. That will be about 4 ounces. And minced fine. I cut it into long, narrow strips, and then I cut across. And then also the one ingredient that may be hard to find, Pontina cheese. Now, I was shopping in a very normal, let's call it, supermarket, not any of the stores where I knew I could find Fontina from Italy, the Valdosta. I knew I would get it there, but I was too lazy to go to a second store. So what I bought was the Fontina that's made in Wisconsin. And it's not as, doesn't have the same depth, subtle flavor, but it was good. It was very good. So I minced that up, 4 ounces of that minced. You want to cut everything to the size of a pea because you're going to add peas. Clifford's recipe only calls for 8 ounces. And I was left with another 2 ounces in the bag of peas I bought. Almost all peas that come in 10-ounce packages. I would say just throw in the extra 2 ounces. I mean, I use peas for different things, so I saved my 2 ounces. But really, if you don't want to do that, you can throw it all into the mix. That's it. You mix that all up together: peas, ham, Fontina cheese, all and the 2 cups of bechamel, and it all goes over 1 pound of al dente ziti. Ziti is an interesting cut. Because the real ziti is like a yard long, which is why some companies still, when they sell the short ziti, call it cut ziti or ziti tagliati, cut ziti. In the old days, before the companies would make cut ziti, meaning short ziti, and you can still buy long ziti, people would break it into pieces. I have to say, it's sort of fun to do. I've done it. But anyway, this is ziti, a pound of ziti. And as soon as it comes out of the drained out of the colander, throw in your bechamel, your peas. By the way, I use the peas straight out of the freezer. You don't have to cook them at all. I let them defrost on the counter maybe a half an hour there. But they don't have to be cooked at all. They're going to cook in the pasta. And then you pack that all into a buttered, the typical 13 by 9 inch baking dish, like a Pyrex dish. But I have a really nice ceramic one. And in that ceramic dish, it took exactly a half an hour, as Clifford said it would, at 350. Got a nice little glaze over the top. The sides, which I nicely buttered, got a little crisp. I like a crisp here and there, and it worked out very well. It made me go back into my published work to see what was I making 25 years ago in the form. I keep finding new baked pasta recipes to me. And there are two that are in my book Naples at Table, which is available digital. Just you buy the digital version. There may be a stray new copy out there, but most of them are used and too expensive in my estimation. But anyway, on it. But the two recipes, one is for not your typical baked ziti with red sauce. And the way, what's, by the way, this is what we think of as baked ziti is, in fact, ziti with mozzarella and some kind of tomato sauce, and I don't know. I don't make that kind of ziti so much. One that I do is I take ricotta and I stir some tomato sauce into the ricotta, and then in the pan I put down just a slight little layer of tomato sauce, and then pack in the pasta, and then put on a layer of the ricotta mixture and more sauce, and like that. And somewhere in the middle there, put in a layer of basil leaves. So in the end, when you cut through this, every slice has a nice bit of basil. That's in Naples at Table. And the other one I remembered when I read my book this morning is it's a very odd name. It's called the pastiera. Pastiera is usually the word applied to the Easter pie. It's made with whole wheat grains. I mean, in America, they also make it with rice. Pastiera is a word used for that. Now, this is in this case, it's a pastiera rustica, and the word rustica in Italian culinary, as an Italian culinary word, means savory, as opposed to dolce, which is sweet. So, a pastiera dolce would be the one we know you can buy in an American bakery. And pastiera rustica indicates that it's a savory dish. And in this case, like the one I just made, which by the way is from Piedmont. Did I say it's from Piedmont? The one, the big ziti with bechamel and diced everything. Well, this one is from Campania, and it's made in a very, in a, it uses a technique that I now even apply when I'm making American style macaroni salad, which is to say, after you've boiled your pasta, put it in a bowl with a cold, in this case, cold milk. And eventually the pasta will absorb the cold milk. And when you make your dish, it won't be absorbing all the other things that are you're baking it with. So in this case, you want to use a dried egg pasta. Could be called tagliolini. I like a very fine one, tagliolini, tagliatelle, any dried fettuccine. Fettuccine, by the way, is a Roman word. Any 1 pound of dried, narrow egg pasta you're going to use. And you go, once you've boiled it, drained, of course, toss it with 4 tablespoons of butter. It's a half a stick of butter. I'll cut into some pieces so it'll melt fast. And pour in 2 cups of milk. Toss, toss, toss. Let it stand. Toss again. Sometimes it takes as much as a half an hour for the pasta to absorb the milk with the butter. But while that's happening, you can make the rest of the pastiera, which is beat 4 large eggs together and then beat in a 2/3 of a cup grated Parmigiano. It's about 2 ounces of Parmigiano Reggiano, maybe a little more. And if you like pecorino, you could mix it. You could I wouldn't do all pecorino here, but you definitely could mix Parmigiano and pecorino. I do that frequently. And then in fact, in this case, I sort of like the pecorino, gotta say. So then you salt and pepper, beat it all together, and then you're gonna prep, cut again, cut into tiny dice, 4 ounces of provolone, 4 ounces of pancetta, and 4 ounces of salami, soppressata, whatever, and mix that all together. Mix it all with the pasta after, of course, absorb the milk. Put it in. Now I bake this again in a ceramic dish. What do you call it? Spanish name. In any case, Piella would be it would be a southern Italian name, but whatever. It's a big dish. This is a dish for a big family party, or for you can make it for a barbecue, because you could take it doesn't have to be served piping hot at all, and you can take it outside and it's big dish and serves, I don't know, a lot of people. I would say at least 12 people, certainly 8 to 10 might be stretching. And you see, it's only 1 pound of pasta. Anyway, you put it in a 300, mix all these things together, and then you bake it at 350 for almost an hour. And then you want to let it rest, because all these baked pastas are better after they've cooled down just a bit. Although the one that I made from Clifford Wright's book, it is a baked pasta, and I made it ahead, meaning hours before I baked it off, and it was terrific. But it does not, it's not a sliceable baking. Most famous, of course, that is lasagna. A lasagna. I haven't made a lasagna in a long time, mainly because that's not true. I made lasagna within the last year using dried store-bought lasagna, and I realized I had lost my taste for that kind of lasagna noodle, which is what has been encouraging me to make my own fresh egg pasta. I did one batch already and didn't come out exactly like, even though I used to make pasta all the time. If you don't keep up, it gets by you. In any case, flour changes, eggs change. Every time you make it, it changes. And on top of that, my pasta rolling machine, which is hand cranked, it's fine, but it's really it between kneading the dough and cranking the machine, it's definitely an upper body aerobics. I could use upper body aerobics, but you know.
Nothing like having aerobics and
Yeah, I think,
exercising.
in fact, I have a new theory that the reason there are so many old ladies in Italy is that they have good skin too. They make pasta. I'm telling you, it's a major workout, kneading, rolling, even with a machine, it's still. And then you're over a steamy pot. It's very good for your complexion. So, you know, when you pour out that pasta into the colander, you get a whole, you know, you could go to a spa and not do as well. Anyway, so baked pasta. I think it's a very, it's, you know, serving a freshly made, you know, spaghetti, long pasta, sure, pasta a little easier. Serving that to a lot of people is very difficult to do it well. I mean, for it to come out well. And that's why I always relied on a big casserole of something. It doesn't have to be as elaborate as a Neapolitan Carnevale lasagna. In this case, it was super easy, super simple. Just, I like dicing. In fact, I heard somebody, a cook, say to me the other day you know, how can you do that? It requires so much chopping. And he said, well, I actually love my knives and I like visiting with them. My new favorite saying, I love my knives and I like visiting. So, Marshall, you have to feel better.
I get a little better each day. We let the people know we're going to get back on a schedule. Occasionally, there'll be little bumps and bends in it, but we're back, and you can
Well,
expect to hear from us.
I'm trying to send out healing vibes. I don't know if you actually received any, but it's a long way to Hartford. But yeah. And purple. Did you know that purple is the healing color?
Yes.
I hope somebody gave you something purple.
I do. I have a purple mouse here.
Oh, good. Very good.
So, all right, Arthur, it's always great to chat with you.
Nice to chat with you. I'm full of recipes here. And also, I have to say, even though I'm going to enjoy cooking from Clifford Wright's book, Italian Feast, I'll read it. It is a great read. I can't get my nose out of it. But of course, I eat up all this historical background. Cuisine is a function of politics, geography, agriculture, so many things that express a culture, and Clifford got it. Yeah. So I wish you well, Marshall.
Hey, Arthur, I'll speak to you next week.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.